Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge along with
Christina Stoffo.
Our next guest has been a familiar face for years as Fox Mulder in The X-Files, as Hank Moody in Californication, as Jake Winters in Red Shoe Diaries, and currently as Sam Hodiak on NBC's Aquarius. But he is now making his mark in the music industry as well. His debut album, Hell or High Water, is now available. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to David Duchovny. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I didn't know that my character in Red Shoe Diaries' last name was Winters.
See that?
Just this moment. Thank you.
We don't just entertain on this show. We educate. And that's the whole idea. Well, let's start with the music, your album. I saw you on Letterman about a month ago, and you said you decided to go into music because you wanted to learn something in front of your kids, in this case, the guitar. And that's how all of this started, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I always wanted to play guitar, but at this particular time, I realized, you know, as a parent, I'm always telling my kids, you know, it's hard. You gotta practice. It's no fun in the beginning, but it's gonna get fun. You know, you suck at first. But I also realized that the kids don't see us sucking at stuff. They see us doing stuff.
Right.
So I was like, hey, I can suck at a lot of stuff in front of these kids.
Let's all suck together, you know?
Why not guitar?
That's really cool. I mean, it's nice. It becomes a real family thing. And if I remember right, your daughter is, like, really good on the guitar now, right?
Well, she's better than me. I don't know how good, you know, she's good. She had softball the past 4 months, mm-hmm. and guitar tends to suffer during softball season. But she loves playing guitar, and I have to say that, you know, I love having the album out, and I love the fact that my daughter picked up the guitar.
Have you done a lot of live shows yet?
I did. I did a few live shows in Boston. I did one at the Cutting Room here in New York, which was fantastic. Did the whole album, like a 90-95 minute show.
Wow.
And I've done some TV spots, as you know, on Fox. We did one song and did a song on the Today Show, and we did one on Kelly and Michael.
So I'm
into it.
How is it like, you know, when you're acting, you have the camera looking back at you, some, you know, stage people, whatever,
yeah.
and then you're performing on a stage, you have all these hundreds of people staring back at you. How do you feel? Like, it had to have been different for you.
Yeah. It's funny. You know, it was like I wasn't able to see that many faces in the concerts that I did just because of the lighting. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but
It's probably good.
It's good.
Yeah, because I remember when I did a play, and the last 20 minutes of the play, I had a monologue, like a sermon, and the house lights were up because it was supposed to look like a church without the lights being dimmed. And I swear to God, I would see people nodding off in the middle of my speech, and I'd be like, oh, do you have to?
That's never good.
One guy was like staring at me, and his eyes would just keep closing, and his head would flip back. I'm like, just look somewhere else. Just don't look at me and fall asleep.
You know, when I listen to Hell or High Water, I can hear the influences of Neil Young, Tom Petty, maybe Jackson Browne. Am I right? Who were or who are some of your biggest music influences?
Well, they're all unconscious because I'm really a new musician and I haven't studied music, but those guys that you mentioned are guys that I love. So if I'm sounding anything like them, I'm overjoyed. But you know, I'm a child of the late 60s, early 70s. I love the singer-songwriters. I love those guys you mentioned. I love Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. I love Elton John. I love Elton John. I love James Taylor. I'm sure I don't sound anything like at all. So it's like, I don't know what the influences are, but I know what I love. And when it came time to produce the actual album, talking to Colin Lee about it, who produced it, you know, I loved the production sound of R.E.M. I loved, you know, the Wallflowers. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved that sound as well. So I think that all comes into play. But for me, it's totally unconscious. I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of having fun on a guitar.
I listened to the whole album, and I'm a big fan of lyrics that actually mean something. And the opening lyrics to this album, if you knew me, you'd stay. If you knew me, you'd walk away. I think that's a very, very deep way to introduce someone into the album. It's like it almost gives them like the door opening to what they're going to be experiencing for the next hour and 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So take me through, like, you know, the writing process.
Well, the lyrics, you know, it all came from a time in my life where I was splitting up. My family was splitting up, so I had a lot of time alone, and it was just kind of reflective and looking back on you know, on loss and on time passing, mm-hmm. and you know, the things that make an adult an adult. I started writing songs when I was 53 or 2 or whatever it is.
Right.
So, like, for me to go out and write songs about, you know, cars and motorcycles and chicks, it would have been obscene and silly and lame and creepy. So, you know, I missed that moment, that window of time when I could have been the musician writing songs like that for teenagers. It's just not me anymore. I can't do it, and to do it would be dishonest and weird. So this was, you know, stuff that was happening in my life, but it's not confessional and it's not autobiographical because I just want it to be universal.
Right.
I just think if you make it personal enough, it can be universal, but if you try to be universal, it ends up being vague and no good.
Heartbreak brings such good music.
You have a lot of perspective. Anybody your age, anybody that age, you walk into it with a lot of perspective, so you can write with a voice that somebody who's 15, 20, 25, they just cannot have.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's difficult for rock and rollers, like, who hit it when they're in their 20s, to continue to mature lyrically to, you know, into their 30s, 40s, mm-hmm. and even 50s. And there aren't many people that pull it off. You know, somebody like Springsteen definitely has, you know, somebody whose lyrics have reflected the man that he has become and not the man that he was. I don't really have to deal with the past so much, but mm-hmm. I can only write as the man that I am.
What was the most surprising thing for you to put together the album? Was it easier than you thought or more difficult?
Well, it was easier in that I had a guy named Brad Davidson at Think Say Records who was really pushing me and pushing the project forward, because it was never anything that I thought would ever happen. I mean, I mm-hmm. never went into any of this thinking that I was going to record one song, let alone an album of songs. It was really only ever for me and my family or whatever. And then, you know, he, with his kind of enthusiasm, I realized that we were actually going to get this done, and I'm not a natural singer, and I just, if I have any kind of a voice, I'm going to find it. I'm going to work on it. And I happened to find a great guy named Don Lawrence, who I'm going to see in a couple hours. I see him once a week, and he's an amazing voice teacher, and, you know, he's given me the confidence to, you know, sing my songs. You know, I'm not going to win any singing contest, but I'm going to be able to sing my songs.
Besides Hell or High Water, you have Aquarius going on right now. Your character seems like he's a cop who I can't quite grasp yet. I don't know if he just isn't playing by the rules, or if he's just part of a time that's changing and he hasn't quite caught up yet. Talk to me about this whole experience with Aquarius.
Well, I think you defined it really well, in that it's not easy to define this guy, and I think you're right to having those questions about him. He's definitely out of step with his time. He's definitely a guy in the 60s who was raised in the 20s and 30s. He's of the greatest generation. He's looking at these hippies and he's thinking, I don't like your hair, I don't like your music, mm-hmm. I don't like anything you're doing. And on the other hand, he's definitely like a Joe Friday dragnet kind of a guy who thinks that there are good guys and bad guys, and he knows who the bad guys are, and he's going to, if he has to bend the rules to get the bad guys, then he thinks that's okay. You know, he's from that era as well.
It's a really great period piece because it does scream 1967 when you do one.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the look, they have the sound of the show. It's perfect. You were on what I think was one of the most groundbreaking shows of all time, the Larry Sanders Show. That was so new, the way that whole show was done. And I know you're good friends with Gary Shandling. That must have been quite a thrill to be a part of that, because that was really a groundbreaking project.
Well, you're absolutely right. I met Gary by being a fan of the show. You know, people talk about binge watching. They ask me a lot now because Aquarius is available on Hulu, you know, the whole season. And mm-hmm. I'm not really a binge watcher, but the only show that I ever binge watched was when I was shooting X-Files in Canada. And I'd say, please send me all those VHS tapes of
right.
the Larry Sanders
yeah.
show. So I watched it, and I told my agents, if there's any way I can get on that show, just, you know, call the producers and say, you know, David would love to be on the show, whatever you want him to do. And that's how I met Gary, was doing the show,
mm-hmm.
and we became friends afterwards. But looking back on the show, you're right. I mean, there's no Entourage without it. There's no cable without the Sanders Show. Because when Gary started doing that show, they had the Emmys, and the Emmys were won by network television. Mm-hmm. And then you had these things called the Cable Ace Awards, which nobody paid any attention to.
That's right, yeah.
Sanders is really the first show that showed that cable is going to be doing better TV than network. And here we are, however many years later, and there's just been an explosion of terrific shows on cable, which is now pushing networks to fight back with I hope, shows like Aquarius that are, you know, cable worthy.
Network TV has to be more creative, and it has to be able to answer to what cable has started to do. Stay with us, David. We're coming up on a hard break. We'll have more with David Duchovny. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
How can you get out of your comfort zone? Change your pace.
People typically make decisions fast or slow, says Alan Henry at Lifehacker. Switch it up to get out of your comfort zone.
First, if you usually rush to decisions, take your time. Observe the situation and analyze your observations before you decide.
It may feel strange, but you'll find being thorough sometimes has advantages.
Second, if you often delay decisions, make a snap judgment. It'll feel a little scary. But don't research every option. Decide now.
You'll jumpstart projects, learn to trust your judgment, and see there are times when a quick decision works well.
Change your decision-making pace for your big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Welcome to America Biker Minute and this edition of ABM's Motorcycles May Be Better Than Married Life. Motorcycles always feel like going for a ride.
Ride on.
Motorcycles may beat married life. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Motorcycles may be better than married life. But in the shower before taking a ride, your bike will not mind if you look at other motorcycles. Bikes don't care if you want to look at motorcycle magazines. Motorcycles don't have parents. If your motorcycle smokes, you have repair options. And last but not least, the motorcycle won't get pregnant, and it doesn't care if you're late. That does it for this edition of Why Motorcycles May Beat Married Life. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road. I'm 2.